Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine, reporting live, and we'll be with you in just one moment. Good afternoon, America. Welcome to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine, giving you all the news the government does not want you to know. The elections, of course, are just around the corner now, and I'm getting excited about it, and I would think you are too. It seems to me that the Democrats are just on the cusp of winning not just the House, folks, but the Senate, too. Now, I couldn't report this to you last week because it wasn't true last week. I've always said, I've been saying for a month or two now, the Democrats were going to take the House. But now it really looks like the Senate is in reach. With new polls in Virginia suggest that Jim Webb can actually win right in Virginia and beat George Allen. This is a very interesting race. George Allen has been ahead the entire election season. He's an ex-governor of the state of Virginia. He's, of course, been a senator of Virginia for 6 years. Longtime fixture in Virginia politics. And they said Webb couldn't do it. Couldn't knock off the giant killer. But of course, George Allen has a racist past that really, it's interesting, didn't come to the fore until he started considering running for president. In many ways, George Allen would be the perfect Republican president in that he's very easy to buy. He does whatever the National Republican Party says, and he doesn't think too much on his own. So he's really perfect that way. Until that is, a Webb staffer by the name of S.R. Siddarth, a Fairfax County, Virginia native, someone born right in the state of Virginia, lived his whole life in the state, but happens to be of Indian American extraction, right? He's a little dark. He was out in Southwest Virginia. He was filming on behalf of the Webb campaign, and of course, George Allen referred to him as Macaca, a French Tunisian word. Allen's mother's French Tunisian, that has to do with a dark skinned person. Well, that racist comment, along with George Allen's saying to S.R. Siddarth, "Welcome to the real Virginia," when S.R. Siddarth had lived in the real Virginia all his life, that began a downward spiral that has continued on with, of course, they found out George Allen's mother was Jewish, which wouldn't be a problem, except that George Allen said, "Stop casting aspersions on my family." I didn't think there was anything about being Jewish that's an aspersion. We've talked on this show about the Confederate flag and how it is that George Allen is a big fan of it, even when he grew up in Southern California, about the N-word and how he would often use the N-word in pejorative ways to describe black people, how he even put a deer's head in the mailbox of a black person to try to intimidate them, how he was known as a racist in high school and was involved in a racial incident in high school with racial epithets. George Allen has this long past. And it's really not a very good one. But it's coming to the fore. People are starting to realize it for the first time. And I think what it's showing is that Webb has a chance. And, of course, the race will determine, I think, at the end of the day, on Missouri, where you have Claire McCaskill and Jim Talent going back and forth, neck and neck in the race. So much is going on this political season that I had to tell you about it. I think most of it you know already. I mean, you certainly know about Michael J. Fox, how he has really played a major role in this campaign. He, of course, is the well-known actor we've seen in a number of movies and television, but is suffering from Parkinson's disease and believes, backed up by scientific evidence, that embryonic stem cell research can help fund the cure for his disease. And so, really, I don't know that his ads would have gotten a lot of notice. Obviously, they were done in Missouri, where embryonic stem cell research is on the ballot, so that's important. But it wasn't really until Rush Limbaugh trashed him as faking his condition that, people started to take notice. And I think people, this is an issue that rings true with lots of us. You know, a blastocyst that's going to be thrown away anyway. 400,000 embryos that are frozen because of fertility clinics that are just going to be thrown away anyway, can save actual real people's lives. And it's not like pro-life activists are rushing to adopt these. far less than 1% have been adopted. Actually, let's see here. 1% would be 4,000. A tenth of 1% would be 400. We're talking about a quarter of a tenth of 1%. There's more than enough available for any pro-lifer who wants to raise as his or her own someone else's child. There are not too many people rushing to do that, to save these blastocysts that can be frozen for, you know, hundreds of years or thrown away. And I think people are recognizing that Michael J. Fox has a point. So at the end of the day, I think it will all go down to Missouri. We will see that on election night. And if Claire McCaskill wins in Missouri, Jim Webb wins in Virginia, I think we're going to hold New Jersey. We'll pick up Pennsylvania, Ohio, Montana. Though that one's getting a little too close for my comfort, but I think we'll pick it up in Rhode Island. And the Democrats will run the Senate, not just the House. The House is looking even better, folks. The numbers grow and grow. Originally, I predicted 225, then 230. I've now gone out on a limb and predicted 235 Democratic seats. But, you know, all of this is not cause to sit back, congratulate yourself, and then go, you know, take a vacation on Election Day. This can only happen if we get out there and mobilize the vote. And that means not just you voting, but helping the local Democratic Party get people out there, get your friends out. You know the friends. You know what friends I'm talking about, the kind that sometimes vote and sometimes don't vote. It is so vital to get them out there because, look, if you're a progressive and you've been waiting for a progressive victory, this is the kind of chance, folks, that we don't have but maybe once in a dozen years, maybe less frequently. Frankly, the last time the Democrats had this big a possible wave at their back was in 1974 after Watergate. And the way it works, folks, is we're winning a lot of districts in areas where Republicans normally win. That means we're going to have a lot of conservative Democrats. The party's pretty much given up on most of its conservative Democrats, but they're all coming back. After all, Jim Webb is an ex-Republican. So if you want not just a Democratic majority, but a progressive majority, you're going to have to work out and work on those close seats, because I guarantee you, as many races the Democrats I expect to win in just 5 days, there's going to be 10, 20, 30, maybe 40 races where the Democrats have 48% of the vote, where if you get out there in your home district or the one nearby or the one, you know, maybe a half hour away and make the difference and help your bring out a progressive majority, you can indeed increase the margin and really make some things happen. What's interesting is that the Democratic agenda, such as it is very much a broad American agenda. You're not going to see any, you know, massive tax increases. That's not how the Democrats work. That's not what they're focused on. What they're going to focus on is minimum wage increase. I think that's something we can all support. Student loans. Making it cheaper and easier to get student loans, even to have deductibility for sending kids to college. Democrats focus on education. They focus on the minimum wage because they care about the middle class. Healthcare concerns. Basic bread and butter issues. And, of course, more importantly than ever, starting to get us out of Iraq. Letting the Iraqi government know that, you know, we're about out of there. And they need to move along pretty fast. And part of the problem is, and I don't know if you've been reading the recent news on this, is that the Iraqi government is in itself being infiltrated with the insurgents. And we don't know who's good and who's bad anymore. We have police forces. We arm them. We use taxpayer money to give them the best arms. They turn the arms over to the insurgents. The insurgents use them to shoot American soldiers. So we have a situation where we're arming both sides. A very, very dangerous situation there. Lots to talk about this hour. I want to go talk about back off Don Rumsfeld's comment for those that seek to question him. Back off! Well, Don, Defense Secretary, I know that George Bush has promised to keep you there no matter what you do wrong over the next 2 years. But if we have a Democratic Congress, we are not backing off. We can ask you questions and force you to answer. All the dirty politics that's going on in the race, we've got to talk about that. But first, coming up after the break, I'm going to have on the phone with me someone who got into a little run-in with Senator George Allen. It's gotten some commentary on the blogs. His name is Mike Stark, and he tried to ask George Allen about his former divorce, about things he did to his ex-wife, about his arrest record, and they literally beat him up. They literally kicked physically, couldn't handle it. I mean, he wasn't interrupting the speech. He was simply trying to go up to George Allen after a speech, and they beat him up. And I'm going to have Mike Stark on the line right after the break. So we'll be right back with more of the Inside Scoop right after this.
Is haunting me. You see, I was exposed to credit cards in college, and I wasn't the most responsible person back then.
Go, go, go!
I mean, I heard the words credit card and thought, hey, free money! Plane ticket to spring break? Credit card. New skis? Credit card. 135 taco dinners? Bam! Credit card. But hey, it's not too late to do something about your credit. Get ScorePower from Equifax.com. ScorePower gives you your credit report, credit score, and it puts you on the road toward the credit you deserve for just $14.95. So, check out Equifax.com today and get that taco you ate 7 years ago out of your life.
Get ScorePower at Equifax.com or 1-877-4-EQUIFAX. That's EQUIFAX. Equifax.
Adios, taco.
I'm just a cowboy who's got achy knees and the joint pain they call osteoarthritis. I tried over-the-counter pills, they weren't right for me. So I tried some prescriptions and they made me foggy. And that's when I found you, Celebrex, for joint pain relief, no more, no less.
Celebrex targets the source of pain and inflammation. It's non-narcotic. It doesn't make you foggy or slow you down. Ask your doctor about Celebrex celecoxib capsules. Celebrex should not be taken if you've had aspirin-sensitive asthma or allergic reaction due to aspirin or other arthritis medicines or certain drugs called sulfonamides. In rare cases, serious stomach problems such as bleeding can occur without warning. Tell your doctor if you have kidney or liver problems. To learn more, call 1-888-CELEBREX, visit Celebrex.com, or see our ad in Real Simple. Just one prescription Celebrex gives 24-hour relief.
Ask your doctor about Celebrex. Joint pain relief, no more, no less.
Excuse me, Ms. Executive, who studied 4 years of math, including trigonometry, and now sits in a huge office and drives a finely tuned luxury car?
Yes, Mr. Only learned basic math in school, so still have a low-paying job and have to live with your mother.
Sorry to bother you, but the vice president who took AP calculus and gets paid more than the rest of us combined wants to know if you'll be leaving early like you usually do to play golf.
Absolutely.
Okay, I'll let him know. If you need me this weekend, I'll be working late filling out your expense reports and timesheets because it's the only kind of math I can handle.
Great. Simple addition and subtraction sound right up your alley.
Thanks. Have a good weekend in the country, Sam.
I always do.
Want to get ahead in life? Learn math. Algebra, trigonometry, calculus. Because math is power. To learn more, log on to mathispower.org. A public service message brought to you by the National Action Council for Minorities in Engineering and the Ad Council.
If you've been thinking about consolidating your federal student loans, it's time to call College Loan Corporation at 1-800-2-COLLEGE. You'll quickly be connected to an expert loan consultant who will explain the benefits of the consolidation program, including locking in the lowest rate in history, reducing your current monthly payment by up to 58%, and cutting down multiple payments into one simple check. For more information, call 1-800-2-COLLEGE. That's 1-800-2-COLLEGE. It's the smartest call you can make.
This is a financial update. Average mortgage rates took a slight dip this week.
Sorry to interrupt, but LendingTree.com is the only place where banks compete over your mortgage. Then you get up to 4 real offers to choose from within minutes. So do better and choose from low rates. Call LendingTree now at 1-800-555-TREE. That's 1-800-555-TREE. When banks compete, you win at LendingTree.com. Equal housing opportunity. Some restrictions apply. See website for details and licensing.
Back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine, giving you all the election news from Washington. It's really just 5 days and hard to believe, but barring an earthquake, the Democrats are going to make some major victories in 5 days. And I've got to say, it's just about time. I've been waiting for this year after year after year. And now it seems like we're here. And it's interesting because I don't think it was, I mean, I don't want to, first of all, I don't want to crow yet because after all, we still have 5 days and anything can happen in 5 days. But what's interesting is that this could be the first election, and we'll see if it happens, but it could be the first election in, I don't know, 50 years where the party in power doesn't win a single seat. I mean, the way it normally works, even in elections where, you know, one party does very well, is generally both parties win some seats. That's the way it works. One party wins a lot more than the other. But as I look, for example, at the Senate races, if the Democrats hold New Jersey, they won't lose a single race while gaining 5 or the 6 they need to control the Senate. Even in the House, when you look at the races that are most likely to turn over, the top 30 or so are Republican. It may well be the Democrats don't lose a single seat as they gain seats in the House. They may gain every governor's race as well. And it's not just that. You've got to work on state legislatures as well. Remember how our system is. I've talked about this a lot in the air, but it always bears repeating that because of the gerrymandering in our system, you have to win a lot just to win a little. I mean, that's simply how our system works. If you, for example, right now the Democrats are about 20% up in the generic polls, those polls that say, hey, who would you vote for, a Democratic Congress or a Republican Congress? Well, 60% of 435, right, 60% of the number of seats in the House gets us well over 240, well over 240. I mean, we're talking about easily 250. But the Democrats aren't going to win 250. And they're not going to win 250 because even though they deserve 250 just based on the polls, the way the gerrymandering is in our House, the seats are designed to maximize Republican victory. Remember, it's just like Al Gore won the election of 2000, but he wasn't installed as president. Now, I understand the Supreme Court had a lot to do with that, but it's important to recognize that the way the districts are drawn, we have to win a lot more just to break even. And so it's very important to vote in your state legislative races because it's those state bodies that can reapportion, can draw those lines differently so that by the time of 2008, 2010, 2012, we can make this a permanent Democratic majority. Some people are going to say this election is just a fluke. Right? I mean, they're going to say that this is an election where you have the Mark Foley scandal, where you have the Jack Abramoff scandals, and that the Republicans, well, you know, they're just the bribery and systematic problems with people buying off people. That's just this year, and it's going to go away for next year. So it's important to make this a broader victory. And there's so much going on in the news. One of the things I found most interesting, it was Don Rumsfeld's comment. John Rumsfeld telling the American press, telling the American people, back off. I titled this show Back Off because to me that is the essence of what our leaders are telling us. Back off. Move along. Nothing to see here. You have no role in our democracy. American people, go away. You bug me. Right? That's what our government's telling us. And the heart of this election, whatever your political views, is whether or not you believe the American people have a role to play in ruling ourselves, or whether you don't. If you trust the government, if you think the government is always right, if you think that, heck, you know, whatever the government says, they probably know best, you know, you're not gonna challenge this government. But what we're finding is not just among Democrats who've been angry at Bush for some time, and have known for some time this was the war was a deadly mistake and so forth, and that the president was lying to us. But independents in very large numbers are going to come out and vote, and even Republicans, I think, are a bit despondent. If you look at George Bush's approval ratings, you'll find not just the 58 to 60% who disapprove, but you'll find that of that, some 40, 45% strongly disapprove. And more people strongly disapprove of Bush's presidency than those that strongly approve and somewhat approve combined. In fact, strongly approved is well under 20%. Those are the true believers. And I think it's because people are finally understanding that this is a president that is incurious. This is a president who never asked the questions he needed to ask before September 11th, before going into war in Iraq, before really anything he chooses to do. And so what's Karl Rove doing? What's the man behind the throne, the wizard behind the curtain, the Republicans' political guru? What's he doing? He is looking for ways to throw all the mud in the world he can, because that's how Republicans campaign. That's what shows how desperate they are. In Virginia, George Allen, who has this long history of racism, is fighting back, saying Jim Webb published novels that are triple X rated, as Dick Cheney's wife, Lynn, put it herself, having written a number of triple X rated novels, at least by those standards. So he wrote novels. Oh, no. Can't elect a guy that wrote novels that have sex scenes in it, like Lynn Cheney did. It's that kind of just reach for the gutter. In Tennessee, unfortunately, the gutter is working. We've talked about this before. Some of the most clearly racist commercials of our era are right there on the air playing in Tennessee, with the clearest one being used, of course, against Harold Ford, the African-American Senate candidate who, until just recently, was running absolutely neck and neck with his Republican counterpart, Bob Corker. Sometimes Ford was ahead, sometimes Corker was ahead. But then they put that ad on in Tennessee. Apparently, Harold Ford had attended a Super Bowl party with 3,000 other people that was sponsored by Playboy. And so that was enough, apparently, to have a white woman with too much makeup, blonde woman, say, "Call me Harold." And, of course, that suggests that, Harold Ford, black man, young black man, might just get a white woman if you elect him to the Senate. Later on, Corker unapologetically played jungle drums, during the Harold Ford ads and, during whenever they described Harold Ford in his ads. And I think the message is clear. The 3%, 5%, I don't even think it's more than 5%, but doesn't need to be, of open racists in Tennessee are just not going to vote for Harold Ford. And it doesn't matter how much he will improve their health care or their kids' education or raise their minimum wage. I mean, Ford, frankly, is too conservative a candidate for my taste on a number of issues. He's obviously better than a Republican. But it just goes to show you that the Republicans are not afraid of throwing the race card when they need to. And in many ways, it's interesting that issues of race still come up in 2006, both with Allen using the N-word and with, Corker using the racist commercials. Of course, Senate Majority Frist is getting into the fray. He said, quote, "Democrats will raise your taxes and surrender to the terrorists." Got to try those fear tactics. George Bush said, and this is a direct quote, "The terrorists win and America loses if the Democratic Party wins." The Democratic Party wins, the terrorists win, and America loses. How stupid does George W. Bush think we are? Oh, the Democrats win, the terrorists win, and America loses. Well, George Bush, and I'm not saying you did this purposefully, because actually I don't think you did, but you have done more to help Al-Qaeda and the terrorists than any president in American history. Think about this. You not only failed to prevent the 9/11 attacks, despite ample warning, but you let them go. You let them go at Tora Bora. And then, instead of attacking them while they were down and really putting troops in Afghanistan, you moved our entire force to Iraq, making sure that, at least in Iraq, we would get more terrorist attacks, because people would understand that we're not a country that can be trusted. We're a country that goes and attacks countries that don't attack us. And so we increased terrorism. Saddam Hussein was a relatively stable dictator, as is the same for some 20-something other countries in the Arab world. We removed this stability, removed this dictator, and now in Iraq, more and more people are dying month after month. And the irony is that for several months, the Republicans tried this, the Democrats want to cut and run. They want to cut and run. They want to retreat from Iraq. They want to cut and run. They must have said cut and run 100 times, thinking it would move their polls up, as it did in 04 and 02. But it's not working this time. Talking about the Democrats as defeatists is not working this time. So now, showing that they have the intellectual integrity of a toad, I don't know, what kind of intellectual integrity does a toad have? Maybe more so than the president. Suddenly he turned on a dime. this same president that complained about John Kerry flip-flopping is now saying, well, when I say stay the course, I don't really mean stay the course. I mean, we're going to keep Don Rumsfeld and Dick Cheney there for the next 2 years, and we're not going to leave Iraq, but the course may change. Maybe I'll give our kids body armor after all. I don't know what it means. Apparently there's some secret plan to win the war in Iraq, similar to Richard Nixon's secret plan to win the war in Vietnam. But what I've noticed is that candidate after candidate, Republican candidate for Senate, after deriding their Democratic opponents as little better than helping the enemy, as terrorists themselves, as people who hate America, as people who hate our troops, now you see themselves cutting and running, saying, well, maybe we do have to reconsider Iraq a week before the election. That's what George Allen said a week before the election. Here, for years, he's been arguing the Democrats want to cut and run, that they're cowards, that they're helping the terrorists, and then a week before, when he realizes that that strategy isn't working, he says, oh, well, maybe I need to reconsider. Is there anyone that believes that anyone in the Republican Party would be reconsidering if it were not for the pressure of the elections and the pressure of the Democrats about to take over houses of Congress? If you want to call in and have your voice heard, feel free to do so. The toll-free number is 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. We'll be right back with more of the Inside Scoop right after this.
From burnt toast. Hair color satisfaction rating 5%. After years of marriage, your husband still leaves the seat up. Spouse satisfaction rating minus 2%. Your car insurance company saves you hundreds of dollars and handles your claim quickly and fairly. Car insurance satisfaction rating 97%. Oh, you must have Geico.
Geico's customer satisfaction stands at 97%. How would you rate your car insurance company? Geico. 1-800-947-AUTO.
It's night. You have heartburn. You want fast relief. Zantac works fast. When first used, Prilosec OTC works not so fast. Zantac works right when you need it.
Hello, relief.
Prilosec's label says it may take 1 to 4 days to fully work. So, what would you choose?
Estimated time of relief, 1 to 4 days.
Prilosec, nah. Zantac's for people who hate to wait, especially at night. Use as directed.
If you're looking for a great deal, look no further than the CX 4600 All-in-One from Epson. No one else gives you so many great features at such a brilliant price, like individual cartridges of DuraBrite ink for water, smudge, and fade-resistant photos, and built-in card slots to print directly from memory cards. You can also restore your old photos to their original beauty, all for around $99 after a $30 mail-in rebate. Buy now and also get a $20 reward card back by mail. For more brilliant deals, visit Epson.com/promotions.
If you give me a fish.
If you give someone a fish.
You feed them 4 days.
Teach someone to fish.
You feed them for a lifetime.
Give me a fish, and you'll feed me for a day. Teach me to fish, and you'll feed me for a lifetime.
Through Volunteers of America, you can help change lives in your community.
As time flows on, there are places we return to again and again. Precious places. Timeless places. Places that, with your help, can endure forever. I'm Paul Newman. Help the Nature Conservancy save the last great places around the world.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. It's of course just 5 days before the election. 5 days. till really we can take back the Congress. I still don't know. I have to admit whether we're going to take back the Senate. I'd be surprised if we don't win at least 50 seats. I mean, I guess 49 is the absolute minimum. I think we've got 50 pretty much there. But, of course, 50 isn't enough. Dick Cheney could break the tie. We need 51, and it's well within reach. So I'm calling Pennsylvania, Ohio, Rhode Island, and Montana for the Democrats. Montana's a little pushy, but I think we've got it. And I think we've got Virginia and Missouri, and that's 51. And those are going to be very close. Either one of them could end up in one of those recounts. But, you know, I know a number of you are concerned about that, and you have every right to be. We've done lots of shows on the voting problems and the voting machine problems in this country. And it's good to worry about those things. You need to. But there's good news, too. And sometimes I think we don't focus on the good news enough. Yesterday I was planning to do a show on verified voting. Unfortunately, that had to be postponed. But hopefully we're going to do that on Monday. And what I hope you'll discover, and you may be surprised to discover, is that it's not all bad news. I've been advocating for every one of the 3.5 years I've been on radio, and frankly during the 3 years I was in Congress as well, I've been advocating for voter-verified paper trails. The idea, of course, is that not only do you vote on the machine so that they can count your vote quickly and, more importantly, disabled voters can get their vote counted, but you also have a piece of paper, and you look at that piece of paper, and you verify it's accurate, and then you stick it in a voting box. And by doing that, and sometimes it goes behind glass so you can't touch it, which is fine with me. Either way, by doing that, we have a record. Well, 35 states now have this paper trail. Now, it's not as good as it should be. In fact, only about 13 of them require it to be audited. So, you know, you got a piece of paper, you don't look at it, it's kind of hard to think it matters. But, you know, we can get those pieces of paper. No one should throw them away. We can get them through Freedom of Information Act and other act requests. We can find out at the end of the day whether a vote was valid or not. And so we have 35 states. That's pretty good. Now, it's not in a lot of other states. Florida, Texas, some of the worst. Not surprising. The Bush brother states. A lot of states down south still don't have any protection. But even if you look at a state like Virginia or one like Maryland, okay, but neither of those states have paper trails. But both of them have divided government. In Virginia, the legislature is Republican, the governor is a Democrat. In Maryland, the governor is a Republican, and the legislature is Democratic. And because of the balance of power, because of checks and balances, because you have jealous government officials watching over each other, I think that's a great way to protect our democracy. Because they're concerned about each other. The most dangerous places are places like the way Florida is, where you have entirely a Republican government. And here you have a state that often votes for Democrats. I'm very excited about the imminent demise of Catherine Harris. I'd prefer her in a jail cell, but at least it's nice to know she's about to get whomped in the Senate race by at least 20 points. And I think it's because people always understood that she was an empty suit, that she was a woman who got there entirely based on her father's money and a few bad makeup techniques, and this was a woman who had zero substance of any kind, and she simply would do whatever her masters told her to do, much in the way of George Allen or even in the way of our current president. So this is a woman who really had nothing to say on that regard, and she's about to go down, and I'm really happy about that. But in places like Florida, those are the places we have to be most concerned about cheating, because there's no one looking over their shoulder. And one of my big fans, Clint Curtis, who you've heard on the air before, is running in Florida against Tom Feeney, running against the very person who asked him to corrupt the voting machines. And so I think that when that race comes around, we will see the power of the new voting machines. We will see the power of whether it is that we can really make a difference. And I know there's a lot of distrust. I have seen Gordon write on the website. You know, he's concerned that it doesn't matter what the polls say, we're still going to lose. And they can flip races. But it's really hard in this kind of massive wave that we have. I mean, you've got to cheat in each and every one of these districts. And with the increased paper ballots, it's getting increasingly harder to do. So I have hope for this election season. And the thing is that as really, if you look at what's happening in Iraq and you see how in Iraq, it's becoming clear that the very Iraqi government that we're funding is out there harming our troops. The very Iraqi government that we're funding is allowing funds to go to the insurgents. It's that kind of time that America wakes up and says, huh? What's going on here? I mean, think about it. Not only are we spending hundreds of billions of dollars sending good American boys and girls, right, men and women, people struggling hard to defend their country out into Iraq, but we're also spending money to kill them. Our money, whether going through oil in Saudi Arabia or whether going through the Iraqi government, is ending up paying for the very bullets that kill our young men and women. And I think as Americans start to realize that not only are they funding the troops, but they're funding the killers of the troops, there's this revulsion, and it's coming across America, and it's greater now more than ever. People are starting to realize that it's about time to go home. Again, if you want to call in, 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. We'll be right back with more of the Inside Scoop right after this.
Just an ordinary taco, but this big evil taco is haunting me.
Guacamole.
You see, I was exposed to credit cards in college, and I wasn't the most responsible person back then.
Go! Go! Go!
I mean, I heard the words credit card and thought, hey, free money! Plane ticket to spring break? Credit card. New skis? Credit card. 135 taco dinners? Bam! Credit card. But hey, it's not too late to do something about your credit. Get ScorePower from Equifax.com. ScorePower gives you your credit report, credit score, and it puts you on the road toward the credit you deserve for just $14.95. So, check out Equifax.com today and get that taco you ate 7 years ago out of your life.
Get ScorePower at Equifax.com or 1-877-4-EQUIFAX. That's EQUIFAX. Equifax.
Adios, taco.
Get the power.
Here's a message about Anderson Windows from J.T. Hurst & Company, a division of T.W. Perry. If you're thinking about remodeling your home, keep in mind that windows play a big part, so it's important to get the right ones. Anderson not only offers finely crafted windows and patio doors in thousands of sizes and styles, they also give you natural wood interiors, low-maintenance exteriors, and long-lasting, energy-saving performance. Stop in and see the full line of Anderson Windows at J.T. Hurst & Company, a division of T.W. Perry. The pros at J.T. Hurst can locate a contractor to do the job for you or give you some helpful tips on how you can do it yourself. J.T. Hurst, where customer service comes first. A division of T.W. Perry. On Catoctin Circle in Leesburg, Anderson Windows. Long live the home.
How many different organizations list you as a member? You might be a member of a sports team, a book club, traveler CD club. But what does that membership really mean? Does membership in the book club allow you to vote on who runs the organization? Can you help shape the long-term future of your CD club? I don't think so. You can, however, shape the future of your electric company. That is, if you're a NOVEC customer. NOVEC, Northern Virginia Electric Cooperative, is owned by the consumers we serve and governed by a board of directors elected from the membership. Pretty cool, huh? But wait, there's more. NOVEC's customers share in the company's profits. Last year, we distributed more than $9.1 million in capital credits to our membership. The power to vote and a share of the profits. Membership doesn't get much better than this. NOVEC, locally based and member-owned. For a list of customer services, answers to your questions, and even employment opportunities, visit our website at www.novec.com.
Thank you.
I'm just a cowboy who's got achy knees and the joint pain they call osteoarthritis. I tried over-the-counter pills, they weren't right for me. So I tried some prescriptions and they made me foggy. And that's when I found you, Celebrex, for joint pain relief, no more, no less.
Celebrex targets the source of pain and inflammation. It's non-narcotic. It doesn't make you foggy or slow you down. Ask your doctor about Celebrex celecoxib capsules. Celebrex should not be taken if you've had aspirin-sensitive asthma or allergic reaction due to aspirin or other arthritis medicines or certain drugs called sulfonamides. In rare cases, serious stomach problems such as bleeding can occur without warning. Tell your doctor if you have kidney or liver problems. To learn more, call 1-888-CELEBREX, visit Celebrex.com, or see our ad in Real Simple. Just one prescription Celebrex gives 24-hour relief.
Ask your doctor about Celebrex. Joint pain relief, no more, no less.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. Again, just 5 days before the election. And a lot's going on. A lot, as I said, is happening in Virginia, where you see Jim Webb, for the first time, really all election season, take the lead. It's a very small lead. In fact, it's almost statistically insignificant in the polls. But for a guy who's been behind for most of the election season, it's amazing to see him pull 2-3% ahead. And most people are saying this is his chance to do it. One thing that I think may have helped Jim Webb in the race is an incident that happened just a couple days ago in Charlottesville, Virginia, when a University of Virginia law school student was asking some tough questions to George Allen and got physically kicked out. Everything has worked fine, I've got that guy right there on the phones, Mike Stark. Welcome to the Inside Scoop. I'm not sure we got it technologically here. We're going to work on that. Tell you what, folks, let me run one more commercial. We're going to get Mike Stark on the phone, and we'll be right back right after this. Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. We've been having a number of technical problems. I apologize for that. We tried to get Mike Stark through, and we couldn't do it. So that's too bad. He's the law student. I'll try to record an interview with him and play it for you a little bit later on. He's the law student, and what he did is he, of course, approached George Allen. You can see a lot of this on YouTube. There's a lot of, press about this. He comes in to George Allen after the speech, that George Allen gave in Charlottesville and asked him about his first divorce with his wife. And the specific question is, why did you spit on your wife? Now, that's the rumor out there. We don't know if it's true. And, you know, some may argue that Mike Stark went a little too far in asking that kind of question. But George Allen's response was quite strong. He got his goons to basically beat up Mike Stark and kick him out of a public place. And that's, I think, the kind of danger that a lot of folks are facing. Look, you know, if that's an unfair question, or the question of why, for example, George Allen has been arrested twice, which is a major, an interesting question. We have so many people that have been arrested in our government. I don't remember it used to being this way. I mean, of course, George Bush, we know, and his drunk driving arrest, or Dick Cheney's two drunk driving arrests, or the fact that George Bush was convicted of assault, I think it was, back at a rowdy football game. And, who are these people? I don't have an arrest record. Do most people out there have arrest records? I don't know. George Allen has two, and we know from his sister's book that he's got a past of being a bully. And so it's just ironic that this is a guy with a history of assault, and someone asked him a nasty question, and all he had to do was say no comment, or pretend or not answer, I guess. But to really beat up a guy and push him out, I just don't think that's what America's all about. I will be trying to get Mike Stark in an interview on at a later time, and we can schedule that for you. Meanwhile, as I said, the Republican Party is telling everyone to back off. The president is saying stay the course. And the American people aren't listening. And the amazing thing is, if you look around the country, the worst thing the Republicans can find to talk about is a comment by John Kerry. John Kerry botched a joke, as he says. He meant to say, if you don't study hard and get a good education and you're lazy intellectually, and you don't study the situation on the ground, then you can get us stuck in Iraq, as George Bush did. Instead, he said, if you don't get a good education, you can get stuck in Iraq. Forgot the word us and was accused of blaming our troops. What's interesting is not John Kerry's flub. What's interesting is how the Republicans jumped on this like a drowning man grabbing a line in water. John Kerry said a stupid thing. Let's blame all the Democrats. You know, it's been part of Democratic policy and politics, and I think fair, to say to Republican candidates, hey, would you keep Don Rumsfeld around? Do you think he should still be defense secretary? And so that puts Republicans in a bind. They have to either distance themselves from Don Rumsfeld and from their supporters who believe that Don Rumsfeld can do no wrong, or they have to endorse him. So they decide to turn it around and try it for the Democrats and say, aha, Kerry said a stupid thing. He accidentally insulted the troops. Do you endorse that? And all the Democrats said, no, we don't. No, obviously we don't. Obviously Kerry doesn't endorse attacking our troops. He misspoke, as George Bush is wont to do every day. And the amazing thing to me was how the Republicans took this as a lifeline. They really thought, oh, this is it. This is it. This verbal flub by John Kerry is going to win us the election. John Kerry isn't even running for office. I mean, here, their candidates are spouting racist terms and doing racist ads. Their candidates are, you know, involved in major bribery scandals like Conrad Burns in Montana, or for that matter, Kurt Weldon or Bob Ney, or, you know, Mark Foley's gone, Duke Cunningham, it's gone. But each of these Republicans, and then there's covering up Mark Foley, right? And there's Shimkus and Tom Reynolds and the Majority Leader Boehner, and of course the soon-to-be ex-Speaker of the House, Denny Hastert. Each of them has some scandal on their hands, and they think they're going to blow up some misspeaking of John Kerry to convince the Americans to vote for the Republicans? Come on. Come on. Even the New Jersey decision affirming equal rights for gay people, including the right to have civil unions or marry, depending on what the legislature decides, hardly made a ripple in this race. And we all know that persecuting gay people is largely what evangelicals are all about, right? I mean, you don't hear them expressing concern for the poor or the people in Darfur or the environment No, I mean, they may care about those issues, but that's not their goal. If, you know, 100,000 people in Darfur are murdered, if the environment goes south, if poor people have to suffer, if there's not a decent education for poor people in America, that's not their concern. Their concern is always persecuting gay people and forcing poor women to have babies. Some of us would call that pro-life or anti-abortion. But, you know, to me, to be pro-life, you don't just have to defend a blastocyst. It's not just about defending a group of cells frozen in a lab or a fetus. It's about defending those living on the planet, too. It's about defending those that are being killed in Darfur. It's about defending poor black kids who need a decent education. And you never find evangelicals supporting that. And the irony, of course, is that, Jesus talked a lot more about the poor than he did about homosexuality. In fact, I don't think Jesus ever spoke about homosexuality in any way, stretch, or form. But he did talk about helping the poor. And what you find is that this is a party, this is a government that is much more concerned about those issues. And so the amazing thing is that even after the New Jersey decision came down, even after that decision, what happens? You find that, it's not that big a deal. It doesn't seem to be affecting the New Jersey Senate race, where Bob Menendez, who's not my favorite candidate, does seem like he's going to hold on and retain the Democratic Senate seat. And I think it's because after Massachusetts allowed gay people equal rights to marry, people are starting to see that, you know what? It doesn't make that much of a difference. It really doesn't matter. Straight people, gay people, marriages, you know, it doesn't affect straight people's ordinary lives to allow gay people equal rights. So when even the New Jersey decision can't stop this Democratic wave, there's really nothing left. And as much as Republicans try to say, aha, John Kerry mistakenly said the wrong word, therefore you should vote Republicans, people aren't buying it. And like drowning men, they go down in flames. Flames of ads blaming Democrats for Osama bin Laden, blaming Democrats.
The Guy James Show is on in less than 1 minute.
This was fun.
You're gonna like this.
Let go!
Right now!
Well, this is it.
Let's get this over with.
So this is good. We got progress.
Any questions before we proceed?
Begin countdown. 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
You have entered the restricted broadcast area.
This is the Guy James Show. The Guy James Show, America's number one Democratic talk show. You've heard from the radical right. Now, all that's left is the truth. And now here's Guy James.
Hey there. We're back. You knew we would be.